Amen. Praise God. I'm having a good time, having a wonderful time. You know, there are so many things that the Lord lays in your heart, but you never have the time to teach them, to impress them on people's hearts. But these 4 days has been, or these 5 days have been a very, very wonderful time for me as well. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. This is where we started, and this is the scriptures that we have been digging into for the past few days. What are we going to do today? Today we are going to teach you briefly. We're going to anoint you, and then under that strong unction, we are going to pray. We are going to prophesy. And that prayer and prophecy will continue tomorrow as we bring the Bible week to a close. The Bible week comes to a close, but it's not, for you, it's just the beginning. Yes, you're going to start building on it. I want you to take this as your, what do you call this, like your remedial studies, as it were. Go back and really do a ponder on them. Let it become your practice. So what should be your practice? First of all, we know why we should pray, okay? So that means that now we should not be ignorant. We should know that we are at war. We should know that the enemy is at our tail. We should know. We should not be. The Bible says that. So we should not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. I mean, so clear, so clear. And if you understand that, you will never need any motivation to pray. You won't need, or you won't take anything for granted. Waking up in the morning, going to work, coming back, sending your kids to school. All the while my kids were going through school. They're still in education. Well, one of them is still in education. Like a primary, every morning we never fail to lay hands upon them, anoint them before they leave the door. Every morning. In fact, I remember when they were in primary, if we forget, one of them said, oh, Dad, you didn't pray for us today. Or Dad, you didn't anoint us today. I said, we always do that. It's the last thing we do by the door before we step out. Why? Because we know that, look, there's an enemy on our tail. So the Bible makes it very clear to us in Revelation chapter 12. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take anything for granted, because you are now a spiritual person. I mean, you say, well, oh yeah, I'm not very spiritual. I'm like, it's a lie. You're already spiritual. If you are here, you're already spiritual. If you are here, you are marked already. Praise the Lord. It's too late. Even if you're not here, you are still marked. Praise God. So we know why we should pray. They will then know how to pray. And so we looked at how to pray. We said we need to pray. We don't just go down and kneel down and pray. We said, well, no, before you pray, you need to ask God for a revelation of his word. And then we said, you pray based on scriptures. Then we asked ourselves, what scripture? Is there any scripture? Can I just take a scripture from the Bible and just say, well, yeah, this applies? And so we said, no, that is not the scripture you should use to pray. And so it is the scripture that the Holy Spirit that broods over the waters. Because the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, very, very. And so we said, so it's not just any scripture. You don't just whip out a scripture and say, well, the Bible, God said this in his word, so I'm believing on it. So you can do all the shiki shiki bam bam shakabugu shakabugu in Jesus' name, amen. It's plastic. There is no life. Like a plastic plant, there's no life. So we then knew how to pray. They would say, well, after prayers, then what next? We said, well, if you've done these things, the next thing you need to do is to set your expectation. You reset your expectation in the light of what you now see. This is the track of a believer. Every other thing, we're just trial and error. So you then reset your expectation. And we said your expectation must be beautiful. Your expectation should be in the light of what God has revealed to you. Your expectation should be in the light of what God has revealed to you. And so your expectation should be colorful. Your expectation should not have any reference to the ills of yesterday, but it should have every reference to the promise of tomorrow. Your expectation should not be based on the ills of yesterday, because sometimes we pray, even God gives us a scripture, but then somewhere along the line, say, then you start doubting. No, don't do like Sarah. Don't do that. Don't laugh. I say, well, how can this thing be? But even if you say that, the Bible says that the power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. because the word of God is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So today, before we go into the anointing service, I want to share one more piece of key with you about that something that you should always do along with your expectation, and that is your confession. Your confession. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. How many of you, do we understand what I'm sharing? Yeah? If you understand, just wave at me so I know I'm not. Oh, thank you so much. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then God kept saying, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. He said, everything he said, God saw. So we then find that utterance is very important. Utterance is very important. Utterance is very important. How you sound is very important. What you are saying is very important. And how you are saying it is very important. Not just what you say during prayers. But what you are constantly saying about yourself, what you are constantly saying about that issue, what you are constantly saying about your promise. So how you sound is very important. And this is where many of us, we miss it. We do all the homework, and then we just destroy it with our low expectation or our poor confession. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It says, out of your belly shall flow. Whatever is in your spirit will always flow through only one source, your mouth. So you then realize that talking and sounding what God has revealed to you is very important in getting results, in having a new experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, my testimony, I said I came into this nation and somebody was trying to paint a negative picture of this nation to me. I said, no. I am not going to subscribe into that negative comment. I'm not going to sign up for that. In fact, I'm going to run away from you because I don't want to corrupt my confession. Amen. So God said, not God thought. No, he said, he saw, because he kept saying what he wanted to see. God kept saying what he wanted to see. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. And the Spirit of the Lord hovers over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. God did not spend his time, no, he did not spend one single verse analyzing the type of darkness. Mm-hmm. God did not spend one single verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Full stop. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and the earth was without form and void. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was problem in this marriage. Full stop. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and this child had a problem. And this person lost his job, and this person was sick in his body, and that person was sick in her body, and there was marital crisis. Full stop. God did not spend one verse analyzing what kind of darkness this is. Do you understand? It's not easy being a Christian. So don't spend time analyzing your situation. Do not spend time. It does not and will not change anything. That was only one voice, one verse. It was never repeated. Why was it dark? Why was there darkness? Theologians have tried to start piecing up information. It was the destruction of there was a first world, and that first world was destroyed. Then maybe there was Genesis chapter 0.0 verse 0. Did you see it there? I didn't see it there. So that tells me that a verse is enough for my problem. And one verse is enough for you. We don't spend time in this faith. We don't spend time celebrating our problems. I'm not saying we don't have problems. Right? And so there is unemployment. And tell me something new. Tell me something new. What is new? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. What is new? Don't spend time. It does not change anything. Is it the analysis of the current situation that you want, or you want the change of situation? Does that make sense? So, what do I do? Number one, I pray according to the revealed word of God. Number two, I set my colorful expectation based on the revealed word of God. Number three, I talk the revealed word of God. Number four, rinse and repeat. That's all. A verse is enough. Anything outside that is distracting, is destructing, is destructive, and is damaging. That's how I live. It's distracting, it's damaging, it's destructive, it's distracting, it's damaging. It's all the things you can think about. It is the devil. It is the... Do you understand? Yeah? Many years ago, I was telling Pastor, but I said, Pastor, well, I don't know how we're having a conversation. I said, don't you understand the reason why they make the mouth of the plane so small, as big as it is? The head of the plane and the mouth is so small. He said, why? I said, so you can talk less. Big wings, small mouth. Have you not asked yourself why the cockpit is, the whole control system is so small? Is it as big as a horse? We used a thread to bridle it. Hold the mouth together. Hold that mouth together. Hold that mouth together. The mouth is the sound of how you talk is not for situational analysis. That's for CNN. No. The mouth is for you to say what God has said. Right? So, I don't have a job. What happened? Oh, praise God. I believe in God for a job. But I know that I will get one very soon because I know that my God shall provide for me. Right? So I said, hey, so you don't have a job? Ah, no. So you see, yes. Things are so tight right now, you know. I know I went for that interview, I didn't get it. I went for that interview, I didn't get it. Even the one I will go for tomorrow morning, I won't get it. But what you don't realize is that all that talk, so did the person now say, oh, because I now understand the analysis of this problem, here is a job. So then don't you ask yourself, then what is the point then? What is the objective of that extra information? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, my husband and I had an argument this morning, but thank God, I'm believing God that peace will reign in my home in the mighty name of Jesus. My home shall be peaceful in the name of Jesus. What kind of argument? What kind of argument? And so when he was arguing, where did he sit? So when he said, so what did you say? Yeah? But you see how much, every time you do that, you are bleeding spiritual resources. Every time you do that, you just get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker because you are talking yourself further away from what God is saying. Yes, we all have problems. We all have challenges. I can give you my top 100 without looking at any list. But what has my top 100 issues got to do with the future that God says I should pursue or what he has said? Does that make sense? Okay. So please, stop analyzing. Right? We already know what the fact says. Even if you don't know, your doctor will tell you. Your lawyer will tell you. Hey, your mother-in-law will tell you. I remember many years ago, Pastor Bola and I were courting, and then she came to our home to visit me, and then trying to do the nice wife kind of thing. She went to meet my mom in the kitchen and decided to. I didn't know what she went to do in the kitchen, but she just went to the kitchen to hang out. My mom was cooking. They decided to go help out. So I was in my room. All of a sudden, I just said, "Hey, hey, 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 hey!" I thought maybe there was fire. So I jumped out of my room and I ran to the kitchen. Mom. And I saw both of them. And I said, what's the matter? My mother said, Jesus. I said, what's the problem? She used her hand to put salt in the stew. I said, what? You didn't hear me. I said she used her fingers to pinch salt in the stew we are going to eat instead of using a spoon. I said, Bola, follow me. And I said, Bola, follow me. I looked at my mom. I said, Mom, we've not even married her yet. So why are you highlighting the fact that she can't even cook? I said, let us marry her first before we judge her. So I, you know my mother, she was fiery. She went, Shaolin master. Am I the one you're talking to like that? My mom is a proper African mama, you know. Rigged. You thought maybe I doused her with petrol and set her on fire. But you know what? The point was made. So if you are going to discuss with people who are in agreement with what God has revealed to you. Discuss with people. If you really want to vent, let us vent in the direction of our solution. And say, Angela, my wife and I had an argument today. Please agree with me. There will be peace in my home in the name of Jesus. When we got married, God said this. And I said, imagine the home that God said we are good. Then we spend time talking about the future. Not telling her this is how we had it. When I was coming, she put her feet on the floor and I tripped. And I said, what is this? And she said, what is that? And they was arguing, what is that? That is history. Unless if you are an accountant, then you are allowed to do that. Because accountants talk about historical records. But outside that, it's useless. Let us subscribe to the revelation God, because the moment God gives you a word, the devil will come and attack it. What you don't want to do is to aid and abet what the enemy is doing in your life by constantly digging and redigging that thing that God is trying to turn your face away from. So John chapter 3 verse 8, quickly. Let me have this one in King James Version. John chapter 3 verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. Watch this. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. Do you hear that? But you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We all produce a kind of sound. What kind of sound do you produce? The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you hear the sound of the wind. You don't know where it is going to. You don't know where it is coming from. But it says, but so it is. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We produce a sound. They don't know where we are coming from. They don't know where we are going to. But they can see the effect of the Spirit-filled believer by the sound. By what comes out of your mouth, out of your belly should flow rivers of living water, not dead water, not historical water, fresh water of God's revelation to you concerning your destiny and your life. So what you say is the sound that you make. What you say, we don't know what's in your heart until you say anything. We don't know what's in your heart. What you say is very, very important. So that then tells me that our confession is very important. Our confession gives us new realities. Our confessions give us new experiences. Our confession. So what you say is very important. So this is where you must make sure that it's alignment. Say. Let what you say direct your heart. Let what you say direct your heart. Saturate your mind and your thought by the revealed word of God, and set your expectation based on that, and then let your speech be in accordance with the expectation that you have said. Does that make sense? Let your speech be in accordance with that, because that is what will determine the dispatch of spiritual resources to you. Let your speech be in accordance. Many of us, we have high expectation, but we talk very low. So we think we have high expectation, but we talk very low. We talk very low. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. It says, suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Right? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Please tell your neighbor, mind your mouth. Mm-hmm. Mind the sound that comes from your mouth. Amen. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither should say before the angel that it was an error. Therefore should God be angry at your voice. Therefore should God be angry, what? At your voice. And then destroy. Who destroys the works of your hands? This, the devil has nothing to do with it. So your voice can determine, can be for you or against you. What you say can be for you. Some people are so, they say, I naturally don't hang around. I make sure I do not hang around people who are negative people. If you are a negative, and it's just me, if you are a negative person, in other words, the glass is always half empty in your life. There are people like that. The glass is always like half. It's always dark and gray and always raining. It's always raining in some people's life. In their confession, everything, they can never see the little light in anything. So I personally, I don't hang around such people. I don't, because it can be infectious. Yeah. Why? The Bible says here. It says, suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither you say before an angel that it's an error. Therefore, should God be angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands because you don't know how to back your expectation with your utterances? Do you understand? Because you don't know how to back your expectation with your utterances. This is tough. This is it. Praise the Lord. But pastor, what I'm going through is very hard. So does amplifying it with your mouth and the tool or your tool of authority, does it make it any easier then? Because if I talk about it, the more I talk about it, the more the solution come? No. Where is the solution coming from? The solution is coming from the word of God and coming from the revelation that you have, and God expects to have high expectation after you have prayed and then back to your confession. So there's no point satisfying your flesh. And then just talk. You know, talk just sometimes is just it's just therapeutic. Then go see a counselor. Go see a counselor. And then talk. You understand? And as you are talking, the counselor, proper spiritual counselor, will still come to align. They know that you are distressed. There's room for distress. You know, everybody can be overwhelmed. But when you are overwhelmed, you know. There's this song, it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher. So God can place people around you that can stand as a rock for you when you are overwhelmed. Does that make sense? So when you're overwhelmed, then look for someone who is also spirit-filled, who will constantly remind you of what God has told. Does that make sense? So like, remember Job, right? When he was on the floor. Right, he was on the ground, he's been hit hard. And then, but then in there, there was still a friend. So the foolish friend said, curse God and die. That was his wife. And I said, but someone said, wait, remember. Remember. So the revelation of the word says, he said, let the weak say, I am strong. He said, no, you don't understand. There's no more budget in the NHS. You don't understand. You understand? Things are very tough. If you understand this, if you understand what I'm saying, you too will agree with me that this is a useless case. You too will agree with me that we are so finished here right now. I mean, because that's why we must constantly fast and pray so I will have a lean spirit. The spirit that responds to what God has told you concerning your life. I have a solicitor friend. He's a very good one. He loves his job and he's very good at it. He was telling me the story of a guy one day that he had spent 20 years in the UK, and he was asked to leave. He lost his appeal. And then so they came to him, they brought the case to him, and the guy has been arrested. He was at Heathrow. And so when he saw the case, so he went to pray. And he said, well, he will take up this case. The guy had 2 hours to go, right? And I can imagine you spent 20 years in England, and then they ask you to leave. Where are you going to? So the guy looked at his case, the case, and he said, wow, what am I going to do? And I'm sure that boy and his family, I'm sure he would have been praying. He's from Sri Lanka, he was saying. He said he looked at the case and said, this looks impossible. But something just, the Lord came upon him, and he said, well, I'll take it. So he started making phone calls. And he looked at the case, read the case, read everything, and said, well, he said, oh, I think I found the loophole. I need to see a judge. But it was a Friday. And this guy was going to leave 2 hours. And so he said, I did not give up. I started calling one office to the other, trying to get a judge who will sit. Eventually, by 4:15, and they closed by 5, by 4:15, he found a judge. And then he called the judge and I said, look, the judge is going to leave in the next 45 minutes, leaving the office. He said, well, can you get here in 45 minutes? Then he then said, okay, can you speak for the judge? He called the judge and he put it for himself. He said, Your Majesty, I will have to appear before you in jeans. He said, because normally as a barrister, you don't do that. Then the man said, okay, just this one time, appear before me in jeans. So he started running across. He got to the man's office like 10 to, presented his argument, and then they approved it. And then just as that boy was going to the plane, the phone call came, and they stopped at the last minute. Can you imagine that? That's a hopeless situation. I'm sure that boy looked at the plane and said, so this is it. This is it. And then his family thought, we have prayed, it's going. What are we going to do? Right? And then he kept going. Last minute. He didn't board. Because we serve a living God. Do you know what I'm saying? There are so many stories when we get to heaven, we'll be here. Because it's not just Daniel and the 3 Hebrew children. No. You will hear history. You will hear stories. You will hear stories of people that got on the plane, that the Holy Ghost will stop that plane and say, get that man down. Is that because saints have been? Does that make sense? Well, you heard Pastor Bola's the lady that came to give a testimony here last year, or was it this year? What's her name? Last year. 2 hours to go. Muslim. They said, call your imam because you are done here. And they called the imam, called the priest, nothing. And then somebody gave her the number of this church. And then she called and spoke to Pastor Bola, who led her to Christ. And that is it. She came back here to say, to praise the Lord, to give testimony. And she has a child now, correct? Yeah. Exactly. That's from the jaws of death. So, your mouth is very important. I will close with this. Luke 21:15. We'll read this together. Luke 21, verse 15. Let me have this in New King James Version. I want us to read this together. Praise the Lord. Please stay on it, but talk right. After this anointing service, as you make your declarations about yourself, you will see them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It says, let's read this together. 1, 2, go. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Exactly. Can we read that one more time? I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So tell me, what are your tools and your weapon of warfare? Comprehension now. How many? What are your tools? And what? Exactly. Is it God? Mouth and wisdom, it says. I will give you what? A mouth and what? Did you ever consider your mouth a weapon? He said, I will give you an anointing. He said, no. I will give you a tool. And this tool, right? Can you imagine you stand before God and say, well, I'm going to give you a tool. I'll give you a tool. And this tool, your enemies cannot resist you. You say, amen. He said, so this tool, they can't even contradict you anymore. You say, amen. He said, are you ready for the tool? Say, yes. Say, your mouth. Say, what? He said, well, you have it. So what? Your mouth. And what? Wisdom. So what part does your mouth play? Your mouth. The part your mouth play is for you to constantly talk what has been revealed to you in spite of what you see and what you hear. That's the place, that's the tool there. So you will constantly talk what the word of God has been revealed to you in spite of what you see and what you hear. If I believe what they told me about England, if I believe everything they told me, I'll be living in a one room in a house with 8 other families in East London today. If I believe everything they told me about church in Kent, we'll be renting per hour in Temple Hill, not far from here. That's what it would be. Your life is not in the hand of anybody. Your life is in God's hands. Right? You learn how to pray. You set your expectation. That's the second thing you do. And then what do? You start talking what God said. In spite of what the doctors, the lawyers, and everyone around you say. And then they will watch you. And step by step, as you find your way to the top of God's destiny for you, because of your confession. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lastly, Acts chapter 14. It says, now it happened from verse 14, from verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. And so, Mr. Ayo, what you are doing should not be my computer. So focus. So now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and spoke that a great multitude, both to the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. You read that? Therefore, they stayed there a long time. What were they doing? Fighting? They were speaking. They kept speaking in spite of the challenges. They kept speaking in spite of the trouble. They kept speaking in spite of the fact that people have stirred the people against them. They kept speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. God will bear witness to what he said. If you say what he said, God will bear witness to what he says. And the impact of that is that God will grant you signs and wonders to be done in your hands. Amen. Did you see that? So they kept speaking boldly. What were they saying? They were speaking the word of his grace. They were speaking the word that God gave them. They kept speaking boldly. And God was granting, and so the Lord, who was, so the Lord will always witness what he said. So listen very carefully. There's no problem too great for your God to solve. If you will say his word so he can bear witness. The Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his own, of his grace, God will bear witness to what God has said. So I'm not going to spend time analyzing the challenges of doing anything. I will say what God has revealed to me so I can allow God bear witness to what he has said. And when God bears witness to what he has said, he will grant signs and wonders to be done in my hands. That's how to be a miracle worker. That is how to be a miracle worker. Do not be overwhelmed. Just play by the rules of the game. Learn the rules and stick with the rules of the game. Let me tell you something. Look, You know, some players do it. You can't say because, you are so desperate for your team not to lose. Then halfway through, they open it, they kick the ball towards the net, they use your hand to deflect it. When you are not hearing your read, why would that kind of goal be accepted? Mm-hmm. So you can't turn football into basketball because you are desperate. Yeah? You can't just say, well, what are we playing here? The ball must get to the net. Okay, halfway through, just because we can just start running. Say, no, boys, calm down. This is football, not basketball. Does that make sense? Yeah, so the same thing. This is Christianity. It has rules, right? It has processes. There are plans. You stick to the rules of the game, and God will bear witness to what He has spoken. Rise to your feet and let us pray.